Hey, podcast listener, this is Rob Cisternino. I'm the Rob, and Rob has a podcast, and the new season of Survivor is just getting started, and we've got new episodes for you 5 days a week. Join us for interviews with your favorite past Survivor players and this season's losers right after they get their torch snubbed. Listen free to Rob Has a Podcast, exclusively available on Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and the Podcast One app. And if you like the show, why not share it with a friend or leave us a rating and review on iTunes?
This is Corolla Digital.
A master carpenter who's here to help you out. If you can't fix it, then let Ace show you how. Ace on the house.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on.
That had special gristle in it.
Welcome to Ace on the House. Well, Matt pointed with gusto this morning.
Hey, can I just say, you in a sexy tuxedo with your James Bond.
Yeah.
Wow.
Look at
that.
That
was so great, man. Congrats. That was really fun to see.
Glad you enjoyed
that. Yeah, man.
The Oscars there. It's
what's that? What does that feel like when it beats the heck out of sitting around a bunch of drywallers, doesn't it?
Trying to think, I have this weird relationship with life, achievement, the Oscars,
yeah,
stuff like that, because everybody thinks it's cool, which it is. But no one in my family thinks it's cool, or even that they don't recognize it. Like, they don't know it. So it's a kind of a weird thing where, in a weird way, it's sort of you're shaped by your family, and then you have your, it's kind of, well, it's not that, oh, I'm an old guy. What's mama think? It's just, it's just a kind of a thing. I think everyone walks around where they're, I think everyone walks around this way. They're kind of shaped by their family.
Yeah.
And then you go out into society, and then you get your morsels from society. But morsels from society aren't really the base. You
sure.
know what I mean? Like, somebody tweets you and says, some guy from Indiana tweets you and says, hey, man, nice job. And you go, okay, that's nice.
It doesn't have the same power as your mom or your dad.
That's a morsel, but it's not, you're 13, your dad puts his arm around you and says, you're going places, boy. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
because my mom goes nuts if I said, hey, I saw Robert Redford at the market. She goes crazy.
Right. So I have this weird thing where I get it from everywhere, but no one in my family even knows. I don't know that anyone knows what's going on.
Yeah.
I've had no conversations with them about it or writing or Jimmy or anything. I don't.
Sure.
So it happens on a Sunday night and everyone's alive, everyone's in town, and I don't have any conversations or emails or texts from anybody. So it's as if it sort of never happened. So it's cool.
But then you have to have a conversation about going and painting the old end table from your grandmother in your mom's house.
That's hot
instead
talk.
Of
That'll be. You can, Stromer, you can look forward to a blockbuster conversation. Because I'm going to see my mom. Let's see. Is this airs today, right?
Mm-hmm. I wish we could have this live in studio. If we could pipe in your conversation.
It wouldn't sound like anything. Yes, today. This would not sound. My conversation with her about the Oscars won't sound audibly like anything.
It won't?
I was talking to Matt about it. I don't think so. I do not believe.
He asked the optimist in the group.
I asked the I'm a gatherer of patterns. I'm a pattern gatherer.
Yeah.
And then I match the pattern against the person's actions or presumed actions, and I understand what they're going to do before they do it.
Right.
Now, on rare occasion, I get thrown off my pattern gathering, like when my wife says many years ago, where is that wax compound, rubbing compound? What'd you call it, a buffing compound?
Oh, no, really? She knew the term, too.
I said, why? She said, I want to get that scuff out of the side of my car.
And you were like, it's working.
I said, I've been asking to do that for 4 months. Yeah.
That's true love. Look at that. No, see? And that's when your third and final baby was conceived, I would assume.
No. I said, I stopped asking you to do that months ago. Why now? She's like, just because. And I said, okay. And she said, all right. And I said, what are you doing later? And she said, picking up one of the band members from Bruce Springsteen, one of the E Street band members from LAX.
Oh.
And I said, okay, well, maybe that has something to do with the buffing out of the thing.
Oh, no.
Which is me studying patterns. It's not a judgment.
No.
I'm trying to study patterns.
But it's also not a 100% reliable system, then, is what you're saying.
Matt, how's my pattern studying in terms of reliability?
You got like a 99.9% success rate here.
Listen,
is this part of the hypervigilance, you think?
It's super... it's a way for me to predict
behavior.
Things.
Oh, okay.
It's a way to anticipate things, predict things, and know what is going to happen and what is not going to happen. A few weeks ago when my wife announced that Sunday night was lasagna night, I didn't get excited about eating lasagna on Sunday night because I was predicting patterns.
You knew it was coming anyway. You know the pattern of when you're going to get lasagna.
I knew there would be no lasagna many days before Sunday night. All so right. I didn't want to be sitting at a table
with your knife
on
and
it,
your fork up.
Like a checkered red and white bib with a knife and a fork, like sitting there going, where's lasagna? Because I knew through my study of patterns that lasagna was not coming Sunday night.
Understood.
That does not make my wife a bad woman. It just makes me an understander of patterns, and then you can, when you understand patterns, you can move along. Sometimes it'll save your life.
It sounds like you can predict behavior and circumstances effectively.
I think, as famously, when we were driving home from Bakersfield at like 4 a.m. a few years ago, we're next to a BMW 7 Series on like the 5 freeway at literally like 4 a.m.
Yeah.
And it had like, it was a new car, but it was kind of beat on and it was pretty dirty and it had like a limo tint. And Mike August was just riding next to this guy in the middle of like an empty freeway. And I said to Mike, get away from this guy. I don't like this guy. Yeah. I don't trust
Something's
this car.
Not right. Yeah.
And he got away from the car, and a second later, the tire like blew out, and the car started like swerving around and pulled off because I was studying a pattern. That's
kind of amazing. You could maybe be an FBI profiler.
Yeah, I could.
You could probably do that, couldn't you?
Certainly I could have caught the kid that shot up the Florida school about the 17th time I was called out to his house to investigate his arsenal.
Yeah.
I would have probably understood at that point.
Yeah,
maybe. So what I do is I study patterns and then I predict the future with a high degree.
And Matt, our own Matt Fondalier gives you a 99% rating. Is that generous, Matt, or is that pushing it?
I mean, I feel like it's pretty realistic. Right. Adam
and Gary
tends
nods
to know
as well. Gary's
nodding.
Okay,
yeah, I concur.
Well, it's look, when somebody says here's what's going to happen, or somebody does something out of their pattern, you should take notice. Believe me, look, if I come home and compliment my wife, she should think something's out of pattern. You know, like she should. We don't all. It's not. Everyone has a pattern. He's not cheating on me. I'm not saying. Listen, if I come home and compliment Lynette, she should be suspicious. Like, and when she announces on Wednesday, Sunday night, night, I should be suspicious. That's otherwise you're not awake. You're not a human being.
That makes sense.
When my dad says to me, when's your next stand-up gig? And I go, it's at the El Portal Theater. And he goes, whoa, what time is that at? And I go, 8 o'clock at night, Saturday night. And he goes, huh.
You know he's not going.
You think I could come out? Yeah. You think I could come out there? Oh, no, no, no. It's not. You're missing the pattern.
Yeah.
We don't discuss my shows.
He won't come, yeah.
Well, no, he wants to come.
Oh, he really does? Oh, so you're saying that that is a different pattern that he actually asked you about it.
Well, it is. Momentarily, it's different. It seems confusing to me. Why does a guy who's never been to a show, why is he so curious about a show?
Right.
Why does he want to know when it is and where it is? I've never had a conversation. I've had conversations with him about, I'm going on the road, I'm playing a show, or what'd you do a week ago? I was at the Improv. But he's never physically shown up or asked or inquired. Well, then we've had passing conversations about stand-up, but we've never had a conversation about what night, what time can I show up?
Right.
And I said, you can go to the show, but it was very curious to me why he was so interested.
So did he come or is he coming?
This was a couple of years ago. He wanted to come, and then he paused and he said, you think I could come up on stage and play my trumpet?
Ooh.
And then the pattern came out of focus and snapped into focus. That's
right.
How the patterns work. Everyone, just study.
So he was
study your own pattern, study other people's patterns.
You wanted to integrate his trumpet prowess into your stand up.
That's where the curiosity. That's why the questions. That's,
I see.
Hence
right.
The what night, where at, what
this
time.
This is big, man.
These are all questions I've never heard
big.
In my life.
Yep.
So study everyone's pattern,
yep.
And then you'll
it's a good
you'll
idea.
You'll get all
yet
your
yet another idea for your next book. By the way, I think that's a great
you'll
idea.
You'll get all the answers you need in life, and do what I do: study Tommy John. Spring has sprung. That means it's spring cleaning time. You can start with your underwear drawer. Go for the mind-blowing comfort of Tommy John. Underwear never rides up. Waistbands never roll down. Wedgie proof. I'm wearing them right now. I was wearing them to the gym last night. They're just the best. They're the best if you're doing something. I mean, if you got to move around, if you got to ride that bike, walk that dog, go to that gym, you get Tommy John. They got the second skin tees. The tees, they stay tucked in. They're not a shirt underneath another shirt. They're a second skin tee. And then the undershirts that don't feel like you're wearing three shirts. It feels like you're wearing a nice form-fitting shirt, wicks away the moisture, backed by the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free, guarantee. It's Tommy John. No adjustment needed.
It looks great outside of your pants, too.
Thank
by
you.
The way.
Matt?
Hurry, TommyJohn.com/Adam and get 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
What are you working on, Stromer?
Boy, I'll tell you, I just got my kid a bad haircut.
Oh, I haven't thought about
that. I took him in.
Mm-hmm.
The guy did a quick, he's got long hair, and the guy did a quick, you know what we should do?
Mm-hmm.
And then I turned away, and then I looked back, and he had cut underneath the long hair, so it's shorter under the long hair.
Mm.
And I believe it's called an undercut.
I got
and
a couple
I think
fancy.
He might be devastated, and he's at school today with a hood on.
Oh, yeah.
You don't remember that, where you're trying to cover the bad haircut?
I first off, every kid needs a couple of bad haircuts.
I know,
that's
but
fine.
It's so I feel so bad that I'm the guy. My wife's like, "You're never taking him to get a haircut again on your watch." Look at this, right?
The saddest thing I saw is I was watching the news the other day, and they're talking about the crazy homeless population, and they interviewed a guy, and his profession he announced,
yeah.
Street barber. And I thought, that's a bad sign for any city. If you have LA now has street barbers.
Right.
We started with people just selling like hot dogs and bacon wrapped confection out
right.
on the street. Now we're actually going to have barbers. Soon, I guess we'll just have like street attorneys and tax
preparation
services.
Where Matt and I can finally start our manicure and dermabrasion business
for the
homeless.
Yeah. Well, it kind of makes sense. Like if you have thousands of people just sort of living on the street.
They need good skin.
They're not going in Fantastic Sam. Sorry. No. I'm going back to street barber. Street barber guy can make $4 a pop and just walk from lice-riddled head to lice-riddled head and just cut. Now, I'm guessing, knowing Los Angeles, he's probably not sweeping it up afterward. We now have something called a street barber.
Isn't that nice?
Evidently, there's more than one of these guys, but that's his job. He's going to make money. Well,
and then you have really handsome, well-kept, you know, homeless guy.
If you're homeless, you theoretically have to get a haircut, you know, 3 times a year or something. Like, you can't just go, you can't step on your own hair.
Right.
So you're not going to Fantastic Sam, so you get street barber guy who charges $5 or you give him like one 40-ounce malt liquor or whatever it is, and he just cuts your hair on the street.
It's off-putting when they come and ask for money, because then you just think it's a guy that really does, he really does need 7 gallons of gas to get back to Bakersfield.
But really just wants a haircut.
There you go.
All right, talk to Dylan, 28, Minneapolis, Pergola. Ooh. What's going on?
What's going on, Ace? Stromer, get it on.
What's up?
Hey, Bob, before I get into it, undercut. Good replacement for botched circumcision.
Exactly, right?
Undercut. Yeah.
Oh, my Lord. By the way, I saw my kids, both sons. Actually, I saw the first one get the circumcision, and then I opted out for the second time. I couldn't bear watching him have his penis skin clipped and his body jerking. Because it does hurt.
I don't.
It hurts.
Yeah, I understood.
Even with the stuff on there, it still hurts.
I'm not interested in being present for almost anything.
Any procedure.
I don't.
Don't in on that.
We're such a stupid society. You're going to want to cut that umbilical cord. No, I'm not. You're going to regret it. I don't think I will.
Yeah.
No. You'll wish you had. No, I'm not. And by the way, who are the people that won't stop trying to talk you into shit that you don't want to do? Like, if I say to someone, would you like to do this? And they go, no, we're done. You do not have to participate in this. Yeah. I don't.
No.
We did the goddamn Oscars. I said to my wife, you want to go to the Oscars? She said, yeah. I said to my daughter, you want to go to the Oscars? She said, yeah. I said to my son, you want to go? He said, no. I said, okay. I left the room. I didn't go. You're going to regret.
Oh,
this is going to haunt you big time. Big time. You're going to rue the day. No, I fucking walked into the next room. I just walked. I walked into the next room. I did not. I had no follow-up.
Because
he didn't want to go.
Right.
And she did want to go.
And he's confident now about decision-making. Right.
Or he's dead wrong. I don't give a fuck. That's my whole thing. Yeah. His mouth opened and he said, no.
Yes.
And that was enough.
That's enough.
That was enough for me to walk into the next room. I didn't do like, hey, you don't want to support your father? What about him? We're all going to be. Nothing.
Yeah.
I just walked into the next room because he said he didn't want to go.
I call that good parenting. I think that's a good thing.
I think it's horrible, lazy parenting, and that's enough.
Yeah.
His mouth moved in a way that produced a word that said no, and I started walking to the next room because I assume that's how he feels.
But I'm the guy that convinces all the time, and I think it's horse shit, and I think what you said is the right way to do it. I'm going to continue to do this from now on.
Oh, my God.
I think you may have changed me.
We've created a whole group of assholes. I'm like, you're really going to wish you were there. No, he's not. And guess what? It's been a week since the Oscars, and guess who doesn't give a shit that he wasn't there?
Your son.
That's right.
Okay, good.
Doesn't come up.
All right. See?
Thank you.
Done.
Sorry, Dylan.
Sorry, let's talk about your pergola.
Yeah, no, I can't wait to share this podcast with my dad. I did one line, and I got Adam to do 15 minutes on circumcision.
Well, that was Stromer.
Well, Stromer, too. Anyway, so I got a future father-in-law that is really good construction wise. He's a tradesman, did tile, all that. And we have a 10x12 deck hanging off the back of our house, but it's not like up a story. It's kind of like the deck you built in the hammer. It's just off the ground, right out the walkout. And we want to put a pergola up and then do some of that string lighting, the LED string lights, because it's a nice backyard, good for entertaining and doing grilling. Stuff like that. So
what's the difference between a pergola and a trellis. Trellis is filled in with like the
cross hatch redwood, mm-hmm. and the pergola is just the large beams.
Yes, yeah. spread out.
Yeah,
yeah. It's basically a big frame structure with no sheathing of any
kind. There you
kind.
Go.
No
That's
roofing.
Right.
Can you have a roof on a pergola?
You can. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Right, but we get snow load and everything, and you don't want that in the winter.
Right. So. Okay.
My question is materials. What kind of wood should we be buying? And then also attaching it to the deck, is it something you would through bolt through the main posts or, you know,
will it be painted or do you want to have a natural wood look to it?
We're going to do a natural stain to match the deck.
Mm. All right. And what's the existing decking made of?
I think it's.
Probably redwood or cedar.
Regular. I think 2x4. No,
2x6.
I don't know the measurements of the planks, but
wait a second.
I think it's cedar.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not pressure treated. It's not green, or it's got a bunch of lines in it, right? All right,
Let's call it cedar. Yeah.
I don't know what the 4x4 or 4x6 uprights.
You're gonna want to. That's gonna be Doug fir. Construction grade beams.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to think if they. I mean, that's definitely a hardwood specialty, special order, special mill. If you wanted cedar 4x uprights,
but
right?
Structurally, it has different weight, load, bearing characteristic to traditional framing lumber.
Correct, but I'm not that worried about it because he's not putting a roof on it. So, Dylan.
Yes.
All right. So if you wanted to keep it the same material, it would cost you a lot in materials.
There you go. Yeah.
Because you would have to go get 4x6 uprights, possibly 4x4 minimum, but 4x6 uprights, and then like the 4x6 or 4x8 sort of headers ones that went across, and then like the 2x6, whatever. And if you did it all out of clear cedar,
Three times.
Oh, easily.
Easy.
Yeah, good luck.
To Doug fir.
I'm not sure. Gary, look up and see if you can find 4x cedar posts, like, online. But it's not a Home Depot. It's not roll into Home Depot and roll out with a cart full of 4x cedar. So what you would have to do, and what Stromer's saying, is go with the Doug fir and then stain it up, which is not going to match the deck, but it's going to be close enough. And I guess the Doug fir in the exterior with the stain on it would probably be all right, but it's the kind of thing, it's not really an exterior grade wood. So you'd have to stain it up and probably freshen it up once a year, twice every 2 years, once every 2 years or something like that. As far as holding the post down to the deck? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, because there's posts around the railings and posts that go to the ground. Is that something where you kind of flush fit them up on the outside and then you bolt through? Or is that something you could just do with, you know, some really good star drive screws or decking screws?
I'd rather that you have independent footings for each post that is supporting the pergola. But if you're trying to tie into the existing deck posts, make sure that they're in foundation below. It can't just be sitting on top of a pad. It's got to really have some meat to it to be stable and hold the weight of the pergola.
Are you're okay. going to attach part of it to the house, right?
Yep.
Let's see. So Gary's found some cedar products, beams and timbers.
It's pretty.
We're looking at a bunch of 2x material here, but they're probably they got some 4x under there.
Yeah, and then they got that big post below it.
So yeah,
that's like a
I don't want 2x4. Sorry, I need 4x4s. But what is like an 8-foot 4x4 run? Or 4x6, I will take as well. So in terms of. The part against the house, you can attach to the house. You're going to attach
put a
that
ledger
part
up there.
To the house?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, so that part's...
Similar to that ledger board you have for when you hang the deck off the house.
Sure.
Put the same thing up.
That part is not very critical as far as the posts go, because it's not doing a lot of lateral work. The post, $30.75 for a 4x6x8. Oh, rough cedar post. And I'm not sure.
And a Doug fir is probably what, 12 or something?
Yeah, I think I think you're about right. I think it's about three times as much. But hey, there's something to think about. I mean, it's three times as much, but you don't need that much of it.
And if you want to impress your new father-in-law, this is that I would do that, and you would say, "I'm going to match the existing deck, and I think it'll look better with cedar." Boom.
Right.
Inheritance.
Dylan, the posts that are away from the house, those need to be attached to the ones that are coming up from the ground and possibly through bolted with carriage bolts. Sister.
Okay.
Correct. Right? Correct.
Right.
Correct.
And then come up through the deck.
You could do that, absolutely. You know what? And whenever I do any kind of decking or pergola, I got to wear some boots. What kind of boots? Danner boots.
Oh, these are nice.
Let me tell you something. These are born from logging and exploration. Danner is a Pacific Northwest original. These are fantastic. I put these on, by the way. I'm walking around. Not only the kids said to me, the 19-year-old kid who's at University of Michigan, my son goes, "I'll take those home. I could rock those Danner boots."
He said, "Rock."
And I said, "Screw you, pal. No way."
They're good looking.
They sure are. Every boot is handmade to hold up in unforgiving conditions. They are a stronghold work boot. 85 years of legendary quality and durability meets modern construction technology and materials. See, that's where the kid came in. He was like, these are fashion boots also. Hey, these are tomorrow's classic today. The stronghold work boot is the thing to get. I'm telling you, I got a pair of them myself. They look great. Adam has them. We're all wearing them right now, as a matter of fact. Just the boots.
Just the boots.
But they look great. Check them out. Danner.com. Danner.com.
All right. Let's see. Gabriel. We'll talk to Gabriel.
Yeah, this is me. What's up?
What's going on?
Stromer?
Hey, man.
44, Illinois. What's going on?
That's Evanston I grew up in. That's a fine place. How far are you from there?
Oh, I'm about 100, 150 miles south in Champaign-Urbana.
I got a guy named Baldy owes me $300. If you would go get it for me, I'll pay you 15.
Small area. I'm sure I could find it.
There you go.
You're removing wallpaper?
Yeah. We've had this house for about 10 or 12 years, and man, there's some terribly red wallpaper, and wife bought one of those steamers, you know, to scrape it off.
All right, stop right there. I'm doing this right now in Koreatown on a job, about 2,500 square feet of this stuff. Here's what you do. There's a tool that scores the existing wallpaper. You literally have like a handheld hockey puck-shaped tool that's got little wheels on it with tiny little tines that perforate the existing wallpaper. You rub all over that sheet of wallpaper
it
with that.
It perforates so you can penetrate.
Hey!
Yeah.
That's right, big man. Mm-hmm. Then you get yourself a Hudson sprayer, and you don't need chemical. You just need a ton of water.
You know what a Hudson sprayer is, Gabriel?
No.
So go ahead, Adam. Tell
me. Probably a good thing that you don't know what a Hudson sprayer is, because if you did know what a Hudson sprayer was, it meant you had a horrible job. Because that's the exterminator guy
right.
who walks around the apartment complex.
Yeah,
the thing you pump up and walk around
yes,
with.
Sir. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
they're $14 at the big box store. It's a 2-gallon. You fill it up with as hot a water as you can get in there. And for the next day and a half, I want you every 2 hours to simply walk up to the area that you've perforated, hit it with a mist of Hudson hot water spray.
Mm-hmm.
Walk away. Come back 2 hours later. Do it again until the whole paper is literally saturated on the wall over a 1 or 2 day period, right? The more water, the better. Put a little plastic on the carpet if you think you're going to drip. You probably won't, though, if you do it the right way. You just missed it. And within 2 days, you'll literally be able to grab that stuff at the top and peel it away. Boom. Problem solved.
Okay. Now, with that method, do you have anything left over?
No.
Glue?
You'll have a little bit of residual adhesive on the wall. At that point, if you want, you could take a Hydra sponge and some wallpaper remover, mix it like 4 parts of water to 1 of that wallpaper remover, and literally sponge it on with that, and then with a fresh, clean bucket of water, go back over and wipe off that residual, and then you'll be good to go.
Mm-hmm.
Man, best advice I've heard all day.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
That's right.
I think we got it.
Good luck.
And what are you going to do with that wall? You going to paint it?
Yeah, we're going to paint it and my wife wants to throw some tile near the bottom to make it easier to clean up, you know, splash.
As soon as you do that work, it's sexy time. You know that, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
One little chore, and then you're baby-making music.
That's right.
Good stuff. Thanks, Gabriel. I now walk through. I go through a lot of airports, and I just stare at the terrazzo.
I know. It's amazing product, isn't it?
I just
do you like it?
I love
it. I actually like it.
I went through Sacramento. Very nice airport over there. At least half of it's nice. And they got some nice terrazzo going over there. And I love it coving.
Yeah.
Coming up the wall. And I think about, I always think about the house I'm building. And I think about the fact that every single house I've ever lived in has just had that baseboard pushed up against the wall. And there's just that black line where all the dirt. Then you can't possibly get the mop or the broom. Even the little Roomba robot can't get into that corner. But imagine if that just coved and turned up. You'd never have – it'd be so easy to clean. I love it.
You seen that installed before with the little – the grout – you know, it's like that metal railing that becomes your level points. It's pretty beautiful how that stuff works.
Yeah, they usually use aluminum, I think, and they just grind it. But I'm so hell-bent on that stuff.
You're going to do it in your house?
My new house.
Yeah?
Yeah, I want to do it, and I want to cove it, and I don't want to deal with it.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to deal with the grout lines, and I don't want to deal with the baseboard, and I don't want to. I want that. That's my Sacramento Airport won an award from the National Terrazzo Association.
Jeez, really?
Yeah.
See, look at the
eye
on you.
The NTA, man.
Look at you recognizing greatness in patterns.
I don't have a lot to live for. But one of the things I do like to do is have this insane conversation with Mike August, because every single airport we go to is terrazzo.
Yeah.
Every airport you'll go to is terrazzo. And they're all different patterns. They work best in like the blues and the grays and not the browns and the oranges, which
some
people do.
That's the 70s stuff,
Mike August and I, we always get off the airplane and we start walking through the sea of terrazzo. And then I say, "Hey, look at the terrazzo." And he goes, "You know how they do it?" And I go, "No, I don't know how they do it." And he says, "Well, they trowel it on and they use those aluminum dividers and then they grind the whole thing off," which of course is what I had to tell him, because he has no idea about anything.
That's right.
But we have a fun little role-playing thing where he pretends he knows what he's doing, and I just pretend to be admiring the terrazzo. But everywhere we go, every airport, I mean, times two a week sometimes, terrazzo.
Yeah.
And I want that. And when people say to me, when I go, like, "I want to put it in my living room," they go, "Is that durable enough?" Like, hey.
Yeah. It's at O'Hare for the last 60 years.
Whatever
right?
they have at the goddamn airport. Is not finicky.
Right.
I will tell you that. I got to write this down. Remember all the clear bag conversation? It was my funny Mike August conversations, which is Mike August and I traveled through 1,200 airports. Every single time you get the speech with take all your toiletries, that includes aerosol, sprays, creams, salves, and ointments, put them in a clear bag, Ziploc bag. We'll provide those Ziploc bags. Pull that Ziploc bag, put it at the top of the tray. Don't make sure it's visible. Make sure it's out of your bag. That went on for 7 years. One day I said to Mike August, like, what's the big deal with the Ziploc? Like, so they can x-ray what's in my toiletry bag. What's the difference? And he went, huh? And I said, all the Ziploc talk. Who cares? What Ziploc? I said, the Ziploc, the speech we get every single time we go through the airport. I haven't heard it. I said, you haven't heard it. We just stand in line and they yell at us about Ziploc. And by the way, half of the airports have a Ziploc bag that is thumb pinned up to like a cork board and a spokesmodel, like going, "Here's the zip, we'll provide Ziploc."
Right.
And he's like, "I've never heard it before."
You know why? Because he's rehearsing his terrazzo bit for when you get off the plane.
No, this predates our terrazzo bit. The terrazzo bit's only a couple years old. And then I said, you never heard it before. And he's like, no. And I'm like, well, they don't make you do it anymore. And he said, good. And I said, but I can't believe you never heard it before. And his argument was like, I'm glad I never heard it because now, magically, it's gone away. There is no more Ziploc doc. If you guys notice that, you don't trap. They don't want you to pull. They don't say anything. They don't ask you. I sort of did it once every seven times, but yeah. I realized very quickly if two-thirds of the people this line aren't doing the Ziploc thing, then this is probably not very important.
Yeah.
And then they just kind of let it go. But it was job one for 10 years, and it went from the most important thing in the world to, you do it if you want, and then it turned into, we're not doing that anymore.
Yeah.
So was there ever a reason?
Well, what was the reason? Would it be like C4 that is made to look like lotion or something or soap product? Why would they want lotion out?
I'm sure fire starting explosives. First off, they can't do anything, number one. Number two, here's how you know it's a theme of the show. The answers are this. If it was, I used to not shut my phone off or whatever on the flights. And because if it was truly dangerous, they would compensate. It wouldn't let you get on the plane with your phone.
Right.
If it, not even truly dangerous, if it constituted a 1% chance that it would interrupt the electrical system of the plane or the pilot wouldn't be able to communicate with the ground or anything, then you would not be allowed on an airplane with your phone. The fact that it's sitting in your lap and they're saying, shut your phone off, but you could easily just take the same phone and just put it in your pocket.
I've never shut my phone off once.
Right.
Yeah.
That's how you know it's not a thing.
Yeah.
And if they put half the people put their crap in a Ziploc bag and the other half don't, that means
it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Gotcha. All right, let me tell you about Simply Safe. Love these guys. Simply Safe. Two eyes in there. I've worked with these guys since they had 10 employees, and now they're protecting over 2 million people. Exciting news. They just released their brand new home security system, the all new Simply Safe. Smaller, faster, stronger than ever before, completely rebuilt and redesigned with new safeguards against power outages, down Wi-Fi, cut landlines, bats, hammers, you name it. The first security system I'd actually call beautiful. Check it out. Still get the 24/7 protection for only $15 a month and no long-term lock-in contracts, but supplies are limited. So what do? You visit Simply Safe, S-I-M-P-L-I Safe, simplysafe.com/Adam. Get the system I have. Dawson has it. Mike has it. Gargis has it. All simplysafe.com. All right, let's see. Smart home appliances. Best for saving money. Let's see. Philip, 29, Illinois.
Ace man, get it on.
What's going on, man?
Hey, 29-year-old homeowner, millennial that is actually investing, you know.
Winner. Wow.
It's rare. Wanted your feedback and expert advice. You know, you see all these ads about smart appliances, whether it's doorbells, lights, thermostats, in your experience, are any of those worth getting for the home? Any actual savings you can get from that? Or is it just, you know, people trying to make a buck off you?
I have had a good experience with the Nest thermostat. I feel like that has worked nicely. I also feel like these things are sort of as good as much effort as you want to put into them. So if you are somebody who wants to get the app and put it on your phone and do all that stuff, then you can really get a lot out of these things. I know they have refrigerators to tell you when you're low on mayo now and stuff like that. And there's all kinds of everything. But to me, the smart thermostats seems to be the one that is the cheapest, easiest, and most impactful.
But when changing to a new thermostat, I just had this happen with a client on Friday. The guy put a Nest in. mm-hmm. did not understand the wiring because he was an IT guy, not a an HVAC guy,
mm-hmm.
blew a fuse on the main circuit panel, which was about a $150 fix. So you have to be careful that you really follow the directions when installing the new smart thermostat.
I will say also I have a Nest, and when I did it, I was having some problems with how to do it because it didn't match the manual.
Yeah.
I called Nest support, and they asked me to send them a picture, and they immediately emailed me a color-coded thing, like Nest support is on point.
Great. Well, their first reply of not of your dick, the actual wiring that we're trying to match.
Right. Because
when Gary's a young guy, and when he hears send a picture, he snaps into a certain mode.
But listen, there's a lot of photos on my phone. Mistakes happen.
After a second round, they were able to straighten it out.
Right.
So, Philip?
Yes, sir.
We're going to go with the smart thermostat.
Yes.
Ourselves.
Yep.
Might we also suggest Simply Safe as well, a home security without drilling and pulling wires, and you can set that all up yourself. I'm not good enough to utilize a smart refrigerator, and probably neither here nor there for me.
What they do is they distinguish between the humidity content of the meat drawer versus the produce drawer, all that stuff. If you're a cook and you're really into food, that's a great thing to do. But if you're not, don't worry about it.
Yeah, well, maybe if you've gleaned from the beginning part of this show, the Corollas don't do a whole lot of shaking of the
no
pots
lasagna.
And pans.
No.
The other thing I would like the one area we've not made any progress in is the amount of time it takes to make toast.
That's a good point.
My daughter wants like a toasted bagel. I put the thing down in the let me put them on hold. I put the thing down, you know. Put the plunger down. The bagel goes down.
Yeah.
This like 6 minutes later, she's like, where's my bagel? And I'm like, I don't know. Is it on? Maybe it's not plugged in. And I like put my head, I take my head and I hang it over the slot. And I'm like, it's going.
Yeah.
Why is this taking as long? Here's my deal. Lucille Ball, when she made toast in 1949 and she hit that plunger. It takes exactly the same time to make toast in 2018. I would like to expedite that a little bit.
I want the time back for the waste of watching toast.
I don't like the part where I get suspicious that nothing's going on inside the toaster. Like, it feels like it's been too long. In a world of instant gratification.
This is a bad... You're right.
The toaster still makes you wait. What... Is there a fast toaster, Gary?
2 minutes, this one says, Gary. Yeah.
That's the fastest four-slot toaster?
2 minutes. That still seems like an eternity.
As of 4 months ago.
Considering you could take some... If you took instant oatmeal, put a half a cup of water in it, put it in a bowl, and put it in your microwave for 2 minutes, it would be on the roof of the microwave, and the other stuff would just be bubbling and red hot molten. Like, that's what the microwave does. We need a microwave for toast.
We do.
Okay.
All right. Hey, we got some Geico action coming
up. Okay, let's hear it.
Everybody's got a to-do list. You got to drop off the dry cleaning, pick up some milk. You know, everybody's got chores, right? Well, how about save hundreds of dollars on car insurance, and you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. You just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Who doesn't need car insurance? I've been hit before without insurance. It's a pain in the you-know-what.
Oh,
so we got to get the insurance going, Geico. Extra money in your pocket. That's the most rewarding to-do list you can have today. Geico.com.
So what are you doing in Koreatown?
You know, I'm doing a house that is in so the guy had brain damage from a bar fight. He was a Marine. Beat up so badly that he now has to have a ward of the state take care of his finances. So somebody hired me, this really sweet woman hired me, whose job is to take care of people who have disabilities. And they need somebody that they could really trust because the guy will, like, escape or run away or... You know, the house cleaner will try and marry him because he's getting a fair amount of money monthly and likes to brag about all the finance that he has in this neighborhood. Pretty soon the Filipino housekeeper's like, in Vegas with him, and they had to like pull a rescue. So anyway, right. I'm taking care of the remodeling his house for him, and it's a beautiful thing. His mom died. He was one of those guys whose family was in an internment camp in Manzanar in the 40s. Japanese
mm-hmm.
family,
mm-hmm.
and he was gave his service to the Marine Corps, got in a bar fight, and from that point on was rendered brain damaged.
Jesus.
I'm helping the people. I'm helping.
I got to say.
Is that a terrible story?
It is. It makes you realize how fast things can happen.
Right.
And then also, I always think about the people who help these people.
Mm-hmm.
And then my first impulse is, man, they're angels. My next impulse is, they're so much better than I am. And then the third impulse is,
they're taking advantage of them?
No. What's wrong with them? Something's wrong. How did this happen?
Yeah. No, my first instinct was, God, this would be such an easy place for someone to, you know, commandeer the income somehow and make false bids and
mm-hmm.
use the system in their favor to get some extra cash on the side.
Well, there used to be a lot of stories. This isn't exactly the same, but it's like gouging the elderly. There'd
That's
always
right.
be that story in the LA Times where this plumber charged the elderly woman $5,000 to fix her leaky toilet,
right,
you know, because right. she was, you know, her husband passed. They left him a lot of money. She was a little bit loose relationship with reality.
Right.
This guy comes into the house. He's somebody she can talk to. They trust that person.
Right.
And the next thing you know, that person's draining their bank right, account. Right. right.
Well, then I saw an article in the New York Times a couple of days ago about that very thing where it's not what you think. The elderly aren't being taken advantage of. It's the millennials, because the millennials really don't understand home improvement.
Uh-huh.
They don't really, you know, they can't smell the smell of fresh cut pine in the morning, 8 a.m. They don't know that. There's an app that tells you what it would be like, but they're not actually doing it. So they're more easily influenced by being manipulated.
And well, it's interesting in that when you have no basic, when you have no sort of baseline of competency,
right.
when it's like, you know, so what I'm saying is we always talk about like hanging a door. Hanging a door is pretty difficult, takes the right tools and a bunch of experience and skill.
Right.
So you couldn't say you could hang a door, but you had a baseline of general competency where you could handle tools and you've helped your dad put up a pergola
right.
at some point or something. And so if the guy came in and said, I want $10,000 to hang the door, your baseline would sort of kick in and go, I couldn't hang it myself,
right.
but I do know enough and I am sort yeah. of generally competent enough to know that that's way too much money.
Right.
And when you have a basic sort of fundamental, you know, like this may not be your sport, but you're athletic.
Right.
And if you have that, it's you can sort of use it toward all the different sports. You
right,
may not be
right.
world class at any of them, but you can sort of generally have some competency in that sport. So the millennials don't have this baseline.
That's right.
A baseline of changing your own flat tire or swapping out the doorknob in your bedroom from a passage to a privacy or some very sort of basic mechanical things to do with cars. So look,
right.
It's not their fault in the sense that, you know, we had two things growing up, a potent combination of poor and things that broke all the time.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you started the car, there was a 50-50 chance it wouldn't turn over, it wouldn't start. And then it was sort of get out, jiggle the wires around. Is yeah. the starter bad?
That's right.
Is the battery dead?
Right.
Is the alternator charging the battery? Pull the positive cable off the battery and see if it still runs off the alternator.
Right.
Whatever you had to do, all these little, you know, we all had cars that had a bad starter and you had to jiggle it around.
I got more mileage out of taking the top of the carburetor off, putting the screwdriver in,
right,
and then turning the key and having it and start. Like
yeah.
that was my thing. That was my go-to.
So,
thing.
if you have a car and every time you jump in it and turn the key or push the button, it just fires up and you just back out of the driveway right. and it's an automatic, well, how much are you going to know about what to do with the alternator right. and the positive and the negative? Or how many? Look, I jumped a car battery probably 1,500 times before I was 30. Like the amount of times I got those cables out, hit the ground, hit the positive, hooked it up to the other one, you know, knew that the car that was throwing the charge should be up and running, even throw a few, hold it at 2,000 RPMs, get the alternator spinning a little bit, like right. all these things.
Right.
I don't think your average millennial has busted out the jumper cables. It may have happened on occasion, but I mean, it's not an everyday occurrence.
That's right. And to your point, it's not their fault that you just don't have to, because everything's like digitized in cars now, where you have to have that digital readout to even diagnose what's going on with your car. Right.
And also, so, you know, I was always poor and I always had a, you know, pickup truck that didn't run. I had to keep maintain. And so there was a lot of, I'm changing the oil, I'm flushing out the cooling system, I'm changing the brake pads, you know. And then the toilet screw. I mean, I lived in a rented house in La Crescenta, and the water heater went out, and I just went up the hill, foothill, went to Lowe's, like got a new water heater, and just swapped it out.
Right.
Like, I didn't even think about who should swap it out. Right. I was just like, the water heater doesn't work.
Now, have you taught Sonny and your daughter any of this stuff yet?
Oh, they are such lazy sacks. They're worthless.
My kids don't know anything.
We just had the conversation about building the new house and about how Natalia's into it and Sonny could care less and what they're going to have to do. And the reality is last night, Sonny pronounced that he helped me build the deck, which is nothing could be further from the truth. I built him a loft for his bedroom, and I built him a ladder. We built the ladder together. I was in the backyard. I was in the garage. I was building him. I said, listen, we're going to do something like a regular team. You know, we went down to the Lowe's or the orchard.
Yeah.
I bought some fairly clean 2x4s. I bought some fairly clean, like, inch and 3/8, inch and a half dowels, and I was going to make them a ladder that was just just plug them in, drilled it out with either a Forstner bit or a paddle bit or Forstner bit. The Forstner bit doesn't have the long pointer at the end of it, so it doesn't poke through. You can go deeper and whatever. Right. Anyway, I was doing all the work in the garage, of course. He was standing there. At some point, he left, and then he returned, not with an iced tea or a beer, with goggles. And then he just stood 6 feet away from me with his goggles on while I was cutting. I was cutting like clear Doug fir on a chop saw.
Yeah.
And he's just standing there with his goggles on. Anyway, he claims that as a victory, like a father-son team build. Nothing could be further from the truth.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing.
That's good. At least you got the 15 seconds of the goggles coming on. I don't even get that.
I will say this. I built him a loft.
Yeah.
I built it out of 1x4, not 2x1. I like to engineer my shit. I like to figure out what you're asking it to do and then build it as light as you can.
Oh,
I don't like it when people overbuild,
right.
and they do it a lot. Shit gets heavy. I made the frame out of 1x4. I didn't, nothing spectacular. I didn't double a bunch of stuff up or anything. I just made it out of 1x4. I skinned it with 3/4 ply or even 1/2 inch, probably 3/4 ply, because I wanted a little stiffer.
Mm-hmm.
I screwed the ledger onto the wall, the two walls in the corner, and then put a piece of cable up to the ceiling on the far corner. So thin cable.
Pass through with no restriction.
Yeah, thin like the cable's like 3/16, maybe a quarter inch. Not a big chain or anything.
Does it move at all when he gets in?
No, really. And then when I mounted the ladder on it, I mounted it down to the floor and then up to it, and the ladder kicks it off.
That's a good idea. It's a good idea.
Yeah, it's rock solid. It's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, good work.
Let me tell you about Timberland. Yeah, some words from our sponsor. Flap, pustule, jowls, nugget, gurgle, smear, curd, bulbous, tender, dongle. I don't even know dongle. Is that dangle? There's a dongle? What does dongle mean? I'm going to look into that. Gary, look up dongle. Pork and moist. Yeah, whether you're a construction worker, warehouse worker, or podcast host, hearing certain words on the job site can make you, makes work uncomfortable. So, at least let's get the work gear that's comfortable. Timberland Pro, man. They got the work shirts. They got the pants. They got the boots. We got the boots here, man. I love those boots. I said I got those things early on in my career. I was the belle of the ball in those babies. Head to toe, Timberland Pro. Not uncomfortable. Dongle.
Yeah.
Do we know that word?
Yeah, it's like it's a thing that you would use to connect two devices.
Oh, like you'd a dongle key.
A dongle.
Yeah, a dongle. I'm trying to pull one out of my backpack for you right now. Hold on a second.
I guess I predate
the fly,
dongle.
Not that dongle, Gary.
Hey, take it easy, boys.
It's a modern day device. But it must have some older origins.
Must have like a skin tag connotation.
See, I don't connect devices.
Yeah.
That's my oath. I made an oath to never connect devices. All right. This Thursday, Oxnard, Levity Live. Clean that up, Gary, that plug. I'll tell you about basic cable commentary in a second. You want to put a few movies on there. Thank you. Also, live stand-up, April 6th, Capitol Theater, Madison, Wisconsin. That thing's going to sell out, man. It's selling fast. Live podcast, April 21st, Santa Ana Esports Arena. Very rare live podcast we're doing out here in SoCal, so check that out. Seattle Moore Theater, that's coming up in September. That's a big, beautiful theater. Love that Moore. And then we'll go cruising after that. We're going to do Cobra and Con Air and Roadhouse, Point Break, Karate Kid, Fast and Furious, The Specialist, all the good stuff. That's Oxnard Levity Live. Up on stage. You've never seen a show like it. That'll be 8 o'clock. Oh, Red Dawn as well.
That's this Thursday. Red Dawn.
Say hey to me and Mike August.
It's good stuff, man.
We're doing a pre-show drink festival over there. Let's see. That's coming up as well.
Yeah, it's in Oxnard from 6 until showtime, I believe.
It's just next door?
I believe it's at the venue.
Oh. Where did I get the...
Let me check this.
Where'd I get the next to?
Anyway, they're going to get to drink some of that fine beverage, aren't they?
Yeah, we'll get some of that fine beverage. I'm looking at Max Pata because I got a next to.
The email that was sent from Lynette to the team says, please remind, we have an endless rant and new lager tasting starting at 6 p.m. till showtime, but it doesn't specify any kind of different location. So I
got the name of a place that it was.
Apparently, it is Copper Blues next door, Chris now says.
Yeah, okay. Lynette should include the name of the venue onto the thing.
Lasagna. That's all I can say.
All right. Anyway, you go there. I think you can do the math, right? It's literally next door, Copper Blues. There you go. All right, Stromer, what do you got?
I'm going to be at the ericstromer.com, so come say hi to me. You'll see some stuff there.
And until next time, Sam Kroll for Eric Stromer saying mahalo.
Subscribe on iTunes or visit aceontheroof.com. This is Corolla Digital.